Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Ponder his names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Each is worth a lifetime of meditation, end of quote. It's like, how do you do that? You think about that, a lifetime of meditation upon each one of those names that we look at up there on the screen. And yet, when we get to heaven, and it's all going to be revealed, and it's all going to be understood, it's going to take all of eternity to unpack all of who God is. Isn't that exciting? I think about that, and I'm just like, wow, more wow than, oh, yeah. You think all of eternity, trying to grasp, getting to know, having it being revealed, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. It's going to be so, so exciting. So for the next several weeks, we're going to try to do just that, taking one of these names and just unpack it. Because how many know, as we look at these names, all these names come from Isaiah chapter 9. As Isaiah is prophesying to the nation of Israel about the coming Messiah, the Savior of the world, Isaiah says this, as there in 9:6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How many know those names are significant? Those names speak of the character, the very character of the God that you were just singing to and worshiping. Each of those names. How many know a name says something? Right? In our modern culture, we've kind of lost some of the significance of a name, unless you're named after a family member, after a father or an uncle or a grandpa that was kind of a patriarch of the family, and so they call you Joe because Grandpa Joe was just this incredible individual and left an impact, or but names within Scripture, within Middle Eastern culture, were so, so descriptive and so significant. How many know there are some rules when it comes to names? For those of you that have yet not to have children, I would advise you, I would counsel you, if that is a desire and the day comes or you're fortunate enough to have the privilege of naming a child, a couple rules. Rule number one, don't name your child after an old boyfriend or after an old girlfriend. Just wisdom would say don't do that. Right? And then another wise thing to do is consider how the first and the last names go together. You have to pay attention to that, or things get really awkward and really punishable to the one who was named. Examples of not doing this would be the Mann family, who named their daughter Anita. Anita Mann. How many know that makes for a long teenage experience for that young lady? Or the Price family, who named their daughter Lois. Lois Price. Just saying. Or a lady named Helen married a guy whose last name was Back, and it was Helen Back. This one, Keisha May, married a guy with the last name Ash, and I'm not going to repeat that one. But how many know I mean, it's just like, that's a bad day. You know, some of you are like, finally start, you're working through that one, and you just picked it up, and we're going to go on. Okay, because I was just like, earlier I was working through my message, and I was just like, okay, I don't know if I should do this, Lord forgive me, but anyway, so can we scrub that one from the live feed right now? Anyway, so names are a big deal in the Bible. And over the next several weeks, we're going to look at the names that are given to Jesus from this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And so this passage of Scripture that we talk about a lot this time of year, that we give attention to, you hear it in Christmas songs, and you see it on Hallmark movie channel, and you hear it or you see it on Christmas cards that arrive in the mail. This passage was of the coming of Jesus, of the coming Messiah, was written about 800 years before Jesus was born. Think about that. That it would be like someone in the year 1219, giving a prophecy that came to pass today. Just to set the backdrop to the significance of this name for us today, but also for those that Isaiah is writing to. Isaiah was writing, as I said, nearly 800 years before Christ actually was birthed. And this period of history was tumultuous. It was a crazy time as the Assyrians were on the march and they were taking the Israelites captive and people into captivity by the droves. And we have to back up, and you kind of have to feel the tension in the room as you look at Isaiah and the book of Isaiah, and you back up a couple chapters into chapter 6 and chapter 7, and you kind of see what's going on as this prophecy is going forth. In chapter 7, there's a prophecy of hope that is given of the coming of this one that would be named Emmanuel, as Isaiah prophesies in chapter 7. That's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. But in chapter 8, through the opening of chapter 9, the prophet depicts a people as without hope. Have you ever been there? As you are going and navigating life, Isaiah is talking to these individuals, prophesying about what is going on and speaking about what's going on, prophesying towards the future. And he's talking to people without a morning dawn, where it's just, they're in a dark season, that there is no sun coming up on the horizon. It's a dark place. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Isaiah is beginning to speak forth hope and the word of redemption to these people. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You know what that reminds me of as I look at 9:2, Isaiah 9:2? It reminds me of the words that you find in Isaiah chapter 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are there with me. You read the following passages leading up to chapter 9, verse 6 of Isaiah, and you feel this crescendo beginning to swell and beginning to build, that God is up to something. How many know God is always up to something? In this dark time for the nation of Israel, and during this dark time perhaps in your life, what does God want to do? What does he want to be to you? In the words of John Piper, can I just echo those words for a moment? Ponder his names. It's interesting to me that as you look at this list in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that the first name used to describe the coming Messiah, that's used to describe the Savior of the world, is as this prophecy is going forth, and they're facing the trauma and the devastation of the Assyrians coming down and invading their land. And you think about the devastation of war. We're privileged enough to live in a land that we've never experienced war per se on our own soil. We could say, well, 9/11, yeah, okay, feel the feeling of 9/11. But think about 9/11, day after day, week after week, there is no horizon, there is no dawn, that you've not experienced the dawn at all. There's just this darkness. That's what was going on with the nation of Israel, and it's just this dark season, and you think about what comes out of from those times, and you think about war, and you think about PTSD, and you think about just, man, that will to survive in the context of whatever it takes. I got to do whatever it takes to survive. And the first name that we have of this Messiah that is coming in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, as Isaiah is speaking this prophecy out, is what? Wonderful Counselor. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking maybe Mighty God. But God says this, Wonderful Counselor, through the lips of the prophet Isaiah. Why? Why would he go there? Let me ask you, what makes a good counselor? I've been pondering that for the last several weeks as I've thought about this message, as I've thought about this series. Isn't a wonderful counselor, for someone to be a good counselor, man, you need someone who is willing to come alongside you. Emmanuel. God with us, Wonderful Counselor. I mean, Jesus is a lot of things, right? Jesus accomplished a lot. He was a great teacher. But the Bible doesn't call him a wonderful teacher. Teaching is formal. It's instructor and pupil. Counseling is intimate. It's one-on-one. It's life on life. A good teacher is a good communicator, but a good counselor is a good communicator and a good listener. A good counselor cares for the people in front of them. He walks with them. He, she seeks to resolve issues that they're facing. They go way beyond Bob Newhart's classic show on counseling, Stop It. As their only advice, a good teacher needs to know the audience. A wonderful counselor wants to know about the life of the counselee. You think about that with Jesus, and my mind goes to John chapter 4, Jesus and the lady at the well. As he steps beyond just the moment into the life and her story as to why she got to where she's at. Scripture doesn't say that he is a good counselor. Scripture declares to us that he is a wonderful counselor. Let's look at that. Two words that are rooted in the Hebrew. The first one, Pele, more than a great soccer player, right? Pele means wonderful for word, or too wonderful for words. Literally, it means incomprehensible. The word is much weightier than the way we use it today in normal conversations. We say things like, man, that was a wonderful dinner, or you know, meaning pleasant or lovely. And Jesus is wonderful in a way that is boggling to the mind. And then the second part of that statement, that name that is given him, is Yoes. It means counselor, to advise, consult, and guide. So here's the question today. What would make him a wonderful counselor? What would make him wonderful? Does the wonderful counselor have a good track record? You think, are there lives that have been impacted and changed by his counsel? We unpacked that even a little bit last week in our message, King Jesus. Or Jesus is King, and talked about his track record. even up to today. But if you're a student of Scripture, you see it over and over again, Jesus' impact on people, Jesus' counsel, his one-on-one interface with them, and how it impacted their life, how it changed the course of their life. You think of Mary Magdalene, who was delivered of 7 demons, and the impact that he had on her life. You think of the woman at the well already mentioned, married multiple times, looking for love in all the wrong places, and Jesus speaks into her, and she becomes a great evangelist in her community and brings people to Jesus. You think of Saul, who is a man who had incredible anger issues, but he came into contact with Jesus. His name was changed to Paul, wrote the majority of the New Testament, had anger issues, met this wonderful counselor, and you see this transformation happen in his life. This wonderful counselor is still changing lives today. Say, Steve, how do you know that? I look around the room. I look around the room. Friday morning, I got together with a friend of mine as we were up in the Baldwin celebrating Thanksgiving with Robin's family. And I was talking with my friend. He's a great, great friend. And he's from Topeka, and we were just visiting and where his life is at right now and some things that are unfolding. He's been in a really difficult and challenging season. And I just wanted to point my friend to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look, you gotta look to Jesus. Don't look at what happened and what brought this despair on. You gotta look to Jesus. And as I was telling them to look to Jesus, guess what I began to do? I began to tell some stories of people in this room, how I know Jesus changed you. And Jesus became this wonderful counselor to you. Through, my friend, look to Jesus. He's a wonderful counselor. He's still changing lives today. We all understand that mental health is a big topic of discussion, and rightly so, in our society today. Life is valuable, and how we think and how we process stuff and react to what's happening in us and around us is impacting. And your decision, my decision, doesn't just affect me. It's in a leave, rippling effects and questions for people that they're left to grapple with sometimes. I mean, that's true in the issue of suicide. That's true in other issues, that they're left to pick up pieces. And so the need, and I just love the reality that the first name that Isaiah, as he's prophesying about this coming Messiah, is Wonderful Counselor. How many know to get help and to go to a counselor is not anything to be ashamed of? You go to a doctor, you go to the gym to get healthy. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let pride ever hinder you from going and getting a godly Christian perspective. And if you ever need a counselor, we had a guest speaker back in September. He's a Christian counselor. I know others. In fact, as I was preparing this message, I sent several emails to friends that are in this field and just said, hey, what does Wonderful Counselor mean? You're in this field. This is what you do day in and day out of your life. What does it mean to you that Jesus is a wonderful counselor? In your dark moments, there is a wonderful counselor. And as you step into this holiday season, the reality is don't holidays kind of magnify some stuff? Right? I mean, they magnify loneliness. They magnify stress. because our schedules get a little bit more packed because we think we got to go on this shopping adventure. And we do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then we have like this party to go to and this gathering to go to, and we got to be at this destination by this time. And it's like all this stress comes in, and like peace is in the rearview mirror. There's financial stress. There's this emptiness. I mean, I know, talk to people that they don't like the holidays because this empty feeling comes upon them. There's depression. I mean, it seems like we could all benefit from having a wonderful counselor. I need that. I mean, this will be my first Christmas without a dad. And some of you are there now because you've lost a loved one this year too. And so it's like, wow. It's a different place. Some of you are still there. You've lost a loved one, or you had a significant change in your life. And maybe it was a year ago, maybe it was 2 years ago, maybe it was 5 years ago, but yet there's still this thing. I mean, you celebrate because of the hope of salvation and what Jesus did, but yet there's still the reality of, man, I miss so-and-so. The enemy of our soul, Satan, wants to give us bad counsel. He wants to derail you from being whole. And so be wise, be patient, seek the wise counselor, seek the wonderful counselor. So the main thought today as we unpack this, that was all intro, is this: the wonderful counselor cares for me. As I said, I reached out to a couple of my friends who are professional Christian counselors. One of them being Aaron Scherenberg, who was with us in September. I asked them, what does wonderful counselor mean to you? One of the things that they said was this: a wonderful counselor understands. Let me ask you, as we unpack that, would you go to a counselor that didn't understand? Maybe once. But after that, you're like, dude, we're at different planes. We're at different places. I'm out of here. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 tells us, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. He understands. He knows the details. He understands your pain and your hurt. He isn't a God who's far off, but one who has come near. So what do we do with that, though? I mean, there has to be more than that, Steve. Look at the next verse, verse 16. So let's come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You know, sometimes our prayer doesn't need to be, God, get me out of this situation. Sometimes our prayer needs to be, God, give me the grace to get through this situation. God, give me the grace to be whole as I walk through this time, as I walk through this issue. And I thank you, God, that you're not foreign to it. Number one, I know you're with me, but also I know you've been before me. I like how the Message puts it in verse 16, puts verse 16. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help. He understands. Next, the wonderful counselor cares. God cares. He cares about your stuff. He isn't too busy or he isn't too big to overlook you. Listen to what the wonderful counselor says, a life verse of mine. I love this verse, Matthew chapter 11. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Anyone in the room? "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." As you think about the yoke and yoking in with Jesus, how they design the yoke and how the operator of the yoke will design it, you know, you can get in there and you can expend a lot of energy if you don't harness, or the animals can expend a lot of energy if they don't harness them upright. If they put the weaker animal can expend all of his energy if he's not yoked upright. And what Jesus is saying to us is that, listen, I want you to get in my yoke. And as we do this journey together, one of the purposes of the yoke is what? That you keep in step with the one you're yoked up with. But also, as you're yoked up, we have to understand that you're keeping in step, but Jesus is a lot stronger, wiser, every descriptive, positive description that you want to give Jesus, he is that, and he is carrying, he is shouldering, his strength is driving that yoke, not yours. Matthew 11, 28 says this to you: you matter. The last one is that a good counselor advises, a wonderful counselor advises. She's not just one who's sympathetic, but one that will help you navigate the challenge, who will give you the prescription for the things that you are facing. Why is Jesus a wonderful counselor? You know why? Because he's God. His wisdom comes from heaven. Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 33. "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment and his past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" There isn't anyone above him or greater than him. He is Almighty God. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. God has united you with Christ Jesus for our benefit. God made him to be wisdom itself. Man, Jesus, I need your wisdom. We need your wisdom. What's my responsibility in all of this? Just to know that there's a good counselor, a wonderful counselor out there. Is that all there is? I mean, just because there's a wonderful counselor out there, is that going to help you? No, it's not. Because there's some action steps that you need to take. The first one is this: you got to say yes to the counselor. You have to engage in that relationship. Perhaps you're here today and you've never made a decision to engage in a relationship with the Lord. You've never allowed him to have access to your life and to work in your life. Yeah, you know about him. Yeah, you've heard about him, but you've never hooked up with him and fully surrendered to his yoke. And if that's you, no wonder, can I just be honest with you? If that's you, no wonder you feel fatigued. No wonder life stresses you out. I mean, at times, I'm a follower of Jesus, and at times, life stresses me out. I can't imagine trying to carry the burdens and the responsibilities of life in my own strength. Oh, so you just need a crutch, Steve? Yeah. But man, he's a crutch that gives me hope and he gives me peace, and he's proved himself faithful and he's made me a lot wiser than I am in my own ability. He's a wonderful counselor. Here's the deal though. It's not a one-time yes. You know what? It's a daily decision. Lord, today I say yes to you. Lord, today I'm going to follow hard after you. Lord, today, as for me and my house, we're going to serve you today. Lord, today I pick up my cross and I follow you because I know me well enough. I'm a selfish individual. I'm stubborn. I can get derailed pretty quick in my own ability. When I get tired, I get grumpy. When I lay around too much, I get lazy. Lord, I need to die to myself and I need to pick up my cross and I need to follow you like you've instructed me to do. God, I say yes to you today. Secondly, is we be honest. Because we can live at such a pace and be so distracted that we don't engage the Lord with honesty. Lord, instead of trying to fix it on my own, this is what I'm feeling. And this is what I'm thinking. Lord, instead of trying to navigate this situation in my own wisdom and my own strength and my own understanding, God, I want to stop and I want to acknowledge you and I want to be honest before you. I'm really frustrated. I'm really upset right now. I don't know about you, but sometimes in different seasons, I'll just like pull up a chair and I'll set a chair. I'll sit in one of the chairs in my office and I'll put the, my normal regular desk chair and I'll just swivel it around and I'll just like, God, here's what I'm feeling. Jesus, this is what I'm feeling today. And I'm just like, I'm just having some chair time. Like, we better, that pastor, we better get some help for the pastor. He's like, that's kind of out there. But it just helps me to focus in and be real and make sure that I'm just not, talking in Christianese terms to the Lord all the time. And just being honest and bearing myself before the Lord. I mean, he knows what's there. It's not like I can go, oh, God, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And he didn't see how I responded to Robin, or he didn't see how I, he didn't know a thought that went through my mind that was would have been displeasing to him. God, here I am. Here's my garbage. Here's my, you know what happens when we do that with the wonderful counselor? And you walk out going, because it's not mine to bear. God, this is heavy. This is frustrating me. God, I'm lonely. God, this was so cool. Man, I celebrate this. Man, this is so awesome. I mean, as I'm journaling, I don't journal every day. I try to, but I don't. But in my journaling, I'm like, man, Lord, this is what I'm celebrating today. And I'll write a celebration. God, this is a shout out. I saw someone do something today, and I just want to brag on you. I want to just brag on them before you today, and I just thank you for Cindy and just her faithfulness and her example. God, I thank you for, my dog Bella, that she chased all the cats out of my yard, and God, I just give you, and I'm just like, shout outs. And then I write down a Kodak moment. God, today I saw you work this way. And if I could just take a picture of that, that's what this picture looks like today. I saw someone love somebody that it would have been really difficult for me to love. But here's a picture that challenges me and calls me to love at a higher level than that maybe I'm comfortable or it's easy for me to love at. God, here's a picture of someone being your hands or being your feet or whatever it is. And then lastly is just, a difficulty. God, this is a difficulty, man, the Broncos stink. God, I'm just kidding. I don't talk to the Lord about that stuff. He could care less, but But Lord, this is a difficulty. We're trying to, you know, be diligent in our budget and or whatever. And I just need discipline. Help me with that. Today, before you leave this place, maybe you haven't done it for a long time, because your answer to people asking you, how are you doing, is fine. Fine. Good. Fine, 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 fine. Good. But that you would pause and be honest with him. And I get it. It's not that you air your dirty laundry to everybody. But here's what is challenging, and here's what amps me up, God. What are some things that you would want me to address in my life? When was the last time you prayed that prayer? Oh, I don't, because everything's fine. And God's like, no, I really want to talk to you about this, because there's so much more I can do in your life if we can deal with this. The psalmist put it this way in Psalms 55:22, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Another responsibility we have to the wonderful counselor is this, to listen. Ha, isn't that hard? We live in a loud culture. I just pause for 45 minutes and just look at you. Some of you are going to be like really squirmy, because we're not comfortable with silence. How does God speak to you? How have you experienced him speaking to you in the past? He speaks in all kinds of ways. And I pray that as you come here, week in and week out, if you're newer here, I pray that as you come, God is speaking to you. Look at the person next to you and just look at them. Don't say, just look at them real quick. If they're asleep, nudge them a little bit, you know. But God may use that person to speak to you. And you're like, oh, dear Jesus. Right? It could be scary, I don't know. But God can use people who aren't even his, who aren't even following him, to speak to you. How many of us have had reception problems? I mean, you think, how many have done this? You're on your phone, you're on your device, right? And you're like, man, I want to listen to some Spotify and I'm going to, you know, and the signal's not coming in. And so you start doing this. Right? Or you're talking on the phone and it's cutting out. And we were talking on the phone yesterday, Caleb, he was driving back to Colorado and he got in some areas where it was just like, hey, you know, Robin starts beatboxing along with it, and it was all incredible. But anyway, and I will call you back. I'll call you back because not good reset here. Love you. Pay you $1 million. Bye. You know, and it's reception problems. And you're moving around, and you're holding it different ways. Why? Because you're trying to remove the barriers. Spiritually speaking, how often do you remove the barriers so that you can hear from God? That you get into his word 10 or 15 minutes a day, man, you would be amazed on how your spiritual antennas will climb a little bit higher if that's not a routine for you. And let me ask you this, who do you go to first? You have a wonderful counselor. I admonish all of us to develop a habit of going to God first. John chapter 10, verse 27 says this, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. The only way that happens is if we are around him. You will be a better person when you're hearing from God. I know I'm a better husband when I'm hearing from God. I'm a better dad when I'm hearing from God. I'm a better pastor when I'm hearing from God. I'm a better friend when I'm hearing from God, a better neighbor when I'm hearing from God than when I'm not. Next to saying yes to Jesus, there isn't a better thing that you can do for your kids, for your spouse, for those that are close to you, than to know the voice of Jesus. And for those of us that have kids, we need to put our kids in a position for that to happen. Because the tendency for all of us is not to go there. So we model, we implore, we provide opportunity for that to happen. And then finally, what's our next step? We learn to listen. Be honest, say yes, and then finally respond. Do what the counselor says. The things that he speaks into you. The wonderful counselor speaks to you. He wants to speak to you. He speaks to me. When I don't do what I know he's asked me to do, I'm going to be in trouble. When I go through my day and I'm not listening and I'm not interacting with him, I'm bound to make some bad decisions and some mistakes. And granted, that's not all sinful decisions that I'm talking about. How many have ever made a decision that it wasn't necessarily sinful? You just look back at it and you're going, that was dumb. I knew what Jesus wanted me to do. I knew the opportunity that he opened up for me. And I did my thing. Miserable. I could give you a litany. You want to hear all my examples from my life? Are you listening to him? Are you willing to do, if the worship team would come, are you willing to go to the wonderful counselor? And Robin, if you could do here in your presence, please. Louis Giglio writes in his book, I Am Not, But I Know I Am. And I quote, he says this, and in the days to come, when you're questioning, needing, searching, wondering, asking, and struggling, you will find his sufficiency at the end of every desperate prayer. When you cry out all the things that you are not, you know his answer. I am. Why? Because he's a wonderful counselor. For every cry, there is only one answer. Lord, I need help. I am. I need hope. I am. Who could possibly be smart enough to figure this out? I am. What works? I am. What lasts? I am. What's the latest thing? I am. What's the hippest thing? I am. I need a fresh start. I am. I need a bigger story. I am. My vision is bigger than my resources. I am. Nothing's real anymore. I am. Who can I trust? I am. I'm not sure who's on my team. I am. Nobody's listening to me. I am. I don't have a prayer. I am. My marriage is sinking and I don't know where to turn. I am. I can't hold on. I am. My kids deserve more. I am. I'm pouring out into others. Who's pouring into me? I am. If we fail, who will get the job done? I am. I'm not sure why I'm here. I am. I'm giving all I can, and it's not enough. I am. Tired. I am. I quit. I am. I can't. I am. I need a drink. I am. I need a fix. I am. I need a lover. I am. Church, isn't he a wonderful, too incomprehensible, mind-boggling counselor?
Everybody dance. Everybody.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.